Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Word, Sound, and Power, The Rise of Reggae as a Global Gospel. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Before the world ever knew the name Rastafari, they heard the rhythm. And in that rhythm was a heartbeat, steady, sacred, revolutionary. Reggae was never just music. For the Rasta, it was prophecy, a way to chant down Babylon, teach the youth, call on Jah, and warn the wicked. It wasn't about record deals or radio spins. It was word, sound, power. From the drums of Nyabingi to the sound systems of Kingston, reggae was born from the tension between suffering and salvation. In the ghettos of Trenchtown, where zinc roofs rattled in storm winds and poverty crept into every crack, young prophets began to sing, not out of joy but out of need. Their songs weren't love ballads. They were scriptures set to bass lines. And at the center of this sonic revolution was Robert Nesta Marley, the voice that carried the fire of Rastafari into every nation. Bob Marley wasn't just a singer. He was a vessel. His lyrics were sermons. His guitar strings were prayer beads. His voice, half whisper, half war cry, gave language to the oppressed across the globe. Get up, stand up. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Babylon, your throne gone down. And it wasn't just Bob. Peter Tosh snarled like a lion. Legalize it. Burning Spear chanted like a priest. Marcus Garvey lives on. Culture, Third World, the Abyssinians, each one a chapter in the holy scroll of reggae. They weren't entertainers. They were messengers. And behind every note was a message, Rasta lives. Africa is home. Babylon will fall. The rhythms, slow and heavy, moved like spiritual tectonics. The bass lines shook the bones. The snares hit like truth. And the vocals soared like psalms. From slums to stadiums, the sound carried the doctrine of Rastafari farther than any preacher ever could. Suddenly, the world took notice. From London's underground to Zimbabwe's liberation, from Brooklyn block parties to Japanese dance halls, reggae became the voice of resistance, a sonic passport that transcended language, class, and culture. Wherever there was oppression, reggae showed up like a prophet at the gate. But with fame came danger. Babylon, always watching, began to capitalize. Reggae was packaged, marketed, polished. The industry embraced the sound, but not the message. They wanted the dreadlocks without the discipline, the rhythm without the reasoning, the fire without the fury. Still, the core remained. Because for every watered-down hit, there was a chant under a mango tree. For every commercial deal, a Nyabingi circle burned herb and beat drums until sunrise. Rastafari understood that music was more than art, it was warfare. A way to wake the masses without shedding blood. A sacred spell cast through speakers. A rebellion you could dance to. This chapter of the movement proved something Babylon could never predict. You can jail a prophet, but you can't mute a sound. And in the word, the sound, and the power, Rasta found a way to echo through eternity.